אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
I'm joined now by Gideon Markham, the owner of a very iconic cake shop in the heart of Auckland Street in St Kilda in Melbourne. If you walk past the shop, you will definitely notice the variety of all sorts of cakes. Gideon is a Holocaust survivor, and today I have the honor to visit him and speak about his life and achievements. Shalom, Gideon.
Shalom, Amit.
How many years have you been in Australia?
Well, it's now 60 years, from 63.
And how long have you been running your bakery?
I retired from architecture and building, and I knew the owner of Monarch Cakes at the time because I was a customer, and he approached me if I wanted to buy the if I knew anyone who wants to buy the shop. Eventually, I decided to do that, and we became owners of the shop. We eventually, after a short time, we changed it to a, we introduced coffee, and it started, it wasn't just a takeaway shop, and it became a center of a lot of people who come here constantly.
It's a very iconic shop, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's a landmark. It's an icon. It's an icon, and just about every TV stations have filmed here, including not just local ones. I've got photos here of Singaporean stars who came here and filmed a travel show like that. There are a lot of photos there. Photos of famous actors, footballers. We support the team of St Kilda Football Club, and we sponsored a lot of players here, and Nick Riewoldt and Nicky Winmar have been here many, many times, and people like Brian Brown, Ben Mendelsohn, Graham Blundell, who used to be Alvin Purple, a lot of people from politics, Koshy, Brad Gilbert, and a lot of famous people in the life of Australia, Melbourne especially.
Okay, I want you to take us back to when you left Poland and arrived to Israel after the war. Tell us a bit about how was it.
On the way to Israel, we were on a ship which was converted from Marseille to Haifa. We were on a ship which was converted from a cargo ship to a passenger ship with bunks in the hold. As we're going past Crete, the island of Crete has got quite an undertow, and the ship, a water pipe burst in the hold where we were sleeping, and where everybody was in there. That was like a cattle ship, and the pipe burst, and the ship started tilting. It was just like that. And we were told to go take our life jackets and go on the deck. They're already lowering the lifeboats when suddenly they managed to stop the leak and pump the water out, and we returned to the ship. And we arrived in Haifa. We were taken to a place which is called Ma'abara. It's to translate loosely, you pass through. Ma'abara, right? Lavor, Ma'abara. And we were in the Ma'abara 2 weeks, and my mother had a friend in Tel Aviv who lived there. She knew the women since before the war, and they were quite well off. And they invited us to stay with them for a few days. And this is how I learned straight away to... the first 2 weeks in the Ma'abara were not great because there was a completely different way of life, and we lived in tents. And the first morning I saw, this is an amazing, I still see it, a guy was looked like Tarzan, wearing a loincloth, right, just a loincloth, and he had a rogatka, he had a wooden gun, right, which he was shooting with stones. He was shooting birds with it and eating them. This is an amazing. You can probably find it in one film or something. And I saw it with my own eyes. I couldn't believe it. I'm looking at Tarzan shooting birds and things. That was in Haifa, Atlit, a place called Atlit. And I remember the first night there. It was a warm night, and the windows were open, and Doris Day was singing, "Perhaps, perhaps, perhaps." And this will always stay in my mind. I think it was Doris Day anyway. But that music was just amazing. And the fresh air, the beautiful warm air, and they completely, it was like euphoria that I was out of this Marbara and out of Poland and in a completely new life.
You mentioned in the beginning that before you had a shop, you were an architect. What drew you to architecture?
I was walking with my mother in Ben Yehuda Strasse, Ben Yehuda Street in Tel Aviv, and I was holding her hand. On the other side was her friend, and we're walking in a beautiful day, and I can see along coming a guy about sort of 50-ish, dressed in a safari suit and a Homburg. And a cane, which he didn't need, it just was for show. And I said to my mother, "Can you ask Masha, who is this person coming? Who is this elegant man?" And the woman said, "This is one of the top architects in Israel, and he's very highly respected." And when he went past, he doffed his hat to us. Anyway, that's infested my mind, and that's maybe one of the reasons why I became an architect.
The way to Australia came actually through England, wasn't it?
Well, I went to England, and when we were not accepted because we were late, and they gave our places to us, the University of Leeds, and they just said, "Look, you might as well stay here and do." Even though we recognize the Israeli matric, you can still stay and do English A-levels. And because of various things, such as a lot of girlfriends and things like that, I wasn't doing too much studying. So, and I was my distant relative, who was a big industrialist here, in the clothing industries in Melbourne, he came to England, and he invited me to stay with him for 3 days in London, and he talked me into coming to Australia for various reasons, which we shall not go into anyway, but so which didn't materialize, and that's how I ended up going to university in Melbourne, 1963.
You arrived to Australia, a new place, new life. How did it feel?
Well, I came basically to go to university and study architecture, which I got accepted as a mature age student, and I did the course, and then I worked in architecture, and that's basically what it was. I didn't know whether I'll stay here or not, but eventually I did. I got married and raised a family here and continued with architecture until I retired and bought the shop.
You lived in many places in Poland, then moved to London, then Israel, now in Australia. When did you start feeling that Australia is home?
I think it was would have been in the 70s, after my trip to Israel, and just past the Yom Kippur War, and seeing what situation that wasn't conducive at that stage for us to stay there, and I came back to Australia, and that became my home. Look, even before that, I espoused the Australian way of life, and but at the same time, I was wanting to go back because it was still in me the feeling of being an Israeli. to get acclimatized in Australia, it was quite easy for me because I was open-minded, very open-minded, and I liked, maybe because of the some of the people that I met, I liked them very much, and they opened my eyes to what really Australia was. A very comfortable, easygoing society, which after they got to know you, you became one of them. And that's happened to me in the 60s already.
It was quite different back then with many Europeans immigrants coming to Australia, wasn't it?
Australia as a country still even more so probably accepts the people who come here. However, a lot of things have changed here. It was very, at the time when I came here, it was very Anglo-Saxon. It helped me that I was a year in England, when also learning a bit of English and recognizing the Anglo-Saxon way of life. So it might have made it easier here when I came here. It is not like that anymore. It is more multicultural and, I'm not saying which one is better or not. For me, I grew with it. I changed with it. So I adapted to the changes.
You told me you speak five languages, and you told me before that Yiddish was a language that you actually learned here in Australia.
Well, I actually learned, believe it or not, I didn't speak Yiddish in Israel because Yiddish was regarded as a language of the Gola. It was a diasporan language, and the idea of an Israeli was to forget about Yiddish. So, but I learned it here from my parents-in-law. They brought the Yiddish with them from Poland here. And my wife also speaks Yiddish, but we don't converse in that very often. But I like throwing sayings in Yiddish occasionally.
Do you have a chance to speak in Hebrew sometimes?
I do. I meet a lot of Israelis now, especially. I didn't have very much contact at first with Israel. I met a few Israelis at the time, but there was no great contact with them. Only later, through the shop, I have met a lot of Israelis here.
I believe that your shop is like a hub for our community to meet and socialize.
Very much so, very much so. All the time, we used to employ Israeli boys and girls at first, but then the immigration tightened up with the requirements, so the whole street actually employed a lot of Israelis 20 years ago, 15 years ago, but they still come here as visitors. It brings to my mind the two moments which were very, very critical in my life here as far as Israel was concerned. One was the 67 war and the other one was the Yom Kippur war. On both of them, I already had a family. My daughter was actually born in 67. She was only 3 months old when I went to Beit Weizmann to volunteer to go back to my unit in Israel. And I was in a very, very special unit in Israel as an officer. And I volunteered to go back, but they said, "Now look, you look after your family. If we need you, we'll call you." And the same happened virtually in 73. Only then things were much worse, looking much worse the first few days. And there was a bit of panic. But they still told me, "Stay here, look after your family." So that's it.
A lot of Israelis still come and visit your shop. I guess they keep you up to date with what's happening in Israel.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. We talk about it all the time. I'm in the shop virtually almost every day, and I welcome anyone, especially Israelis. And they know they're always... if they require any help or any introduction to anything, they're always welcome. And this is not just a saying. And a lot of Israelis who stayed here or came back were very appreciative of what we tried to do or did for them here. So we welcome you all with open arms, Israeli or not. And of course, you're invited anytime here, and I can tell you a lot more stories.
Gideon Markham, thank you so much for your time. It was such a pleasure speaking to you today.
Thank you.
עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.